Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, as always, here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. Man, do we got a busy show this morning. We have earnings from, among others, NVIDIA, Newell Brands, Deere, Pepsi. Canopy Growth finally came out at like 10:30 last night. So we have that to talk about. We have 13 Fs. The only one that really matters for us this morning is Buffett. So we'll talk about which stocks he bought and sold in his 13 F last quarter. And we have our guest today at 8:15. We're being joined by Anne Marie Band. The tradingbook.com is her website. Joel, also we have, as Joel reminded us on the pre-market show, options expiration. Don't forget, it is the third Friday of the month, even though it's only the 15th. Joel, what's the word here in the overnight session?
Oh, we got some green on the screen. We matched yesterday's low in the pre-market, 29 even. We are now 22 handles above that. So right back in the 2750 handle. Yesterday's high and the Wednesday and Thursday's high, 62 and 63. Those are the big targets on the upside. If we start to peel back here, I'm going to use your close as 43.50 as support. Crude at the top of the trading range, up 62 cents over the $55. So let's see if we can get into the 55, maybe even the 56 handle today. Gold getting a pop too, up $8 at 1321.80. You have silver in the green too by 12 cents at 1565. Let's bring in Triple D, and he is on fire today. He's in a good mood. Dennis, I know some mornings you come in with your 50, 60 positions, and you have a lot, you know, some bad things going on. Sometimes you have some good luck. How's it going this morning?
I mean, this is the way trading works to a certain extent. And you can have strategies and you can have edges, but nobody's got 100% edge. Nobody's got a 90% edge or an 80% edge. I mean, you know, good traders in our firm, you got a 2% edge. It's like the casino, 52, 53. In the long run, you make money. You know, on any given month, you're usually going to make money. Like I said, you know, I haven't had a down month in years. On any given week, you're probably going to make money. Rarely will I have a down week. On any given day, though, you can have one or two stocks working against you significantly on a news event, especially when you're overnight, and you're going to be down on the day. So you still live like, you know, day to day, really, and you're going to have good luck and bad luck on any given day. In January, it was just like a month that I just kept getting dinged on random bad news against me. You know, like for instance, the Celgene takeover, where I was short a whole bunch of biotech stocks and biotech ETFs and got crushed on that. I mean, just random news. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, you recover and you move on. But there's obviously, you know, going to be days too that works for you. It just seemed like January, it seemed like every piece of news, I'd like randomly hold a stock, you know, through an earnings report. And every single time I was doing that, they were going against me. You'd think more or less it'd be a coin flip to a certain extent. I mean, they can go up or down after the earnings. And in some cases, it just wasn't the case. February has completely turned. It's funny how this like cycles like that. And it's just been a month where everything's been working for me so far. I don't, you know, and this isn't, you know, good trading. It's just a matter of, you know, it's like the casino. On any given day, some players might actually come in and win a big money amount of money in the slot machines, or they might win a big amount of money at the tables. But if you keep them there long enough, you keep playing, you know, the casino eventually gets that back. So, you know, I consider myself playing little 1, 2, 3% statistical edges that in the long run should work themselves out. And, you know, all the bad luck I was having in January is coming back as good luck in February. It'll cycle again and it'll move on again. And maybe it's going to be today, Joel, because you just reminded me, and I totally forgot about this, the early option expiration. It's the 15th. And you just said it this morning. I was like, oh, my goodness, it is. And I'm definitely not positioned for options expiration. I'm still hedged and I'm still good from that perspective. But usually, you know, you position yourself a little bit differently because sometimes the stocks tend to skew themselves up a little bit on options expiration for whatever reason. So anyways.
How would you do it differently, Dennis? Would you be more hedged, less hedged?
I like being long stock, short ETFs, actually, on the options expiration. I don't know why it shouldn't be a bias, but there seems to be a bias. There seems to be usually traders, especially when you've been in this bull market as of late, that there seems to be a tendency that stocks tend to open up a little higher than they should in certain cases. I mean, after 9:32, 9:33, it all works itself out. So, you know, you hold 3, 4, 5 minutes, you'll be fine. But it's on that opening prints where sometimes I believe that the stocks can tend to open higher than where they should. And and that's typical for the options expirations as of late. So typically, I like to be long stocks, short indexes going into that open just to try to take advantage of those pricing inefficiencies that sometimes happen at the open. I happen to be the other way here today, which is why I'm like, ugh. But, you know, if I was to hold these positions for 4 to 5 minutes after the open, I'm probably fine anyways. It's just I like to try to take advantage of a stock opening too high relative to where maybe it should be from a fair value perspective.
Yeah, and it kind of
maybe selective perception a little bit.
Yeah. No, also the market has been selectively going up for like 100 years. So that's not, any different. What I did want to mention too, and I think Spinner mentioned this yesterday, there's some index options that expire on the open. There's some on the close here. So a lot of jockeying going on today. So if you're trading the indexes or stocks that are big components in the indexes and you get some good price action, a target or whatever off the open, I encourage you to take it because it's going to be a seesaw day. But we got some earnings. We got 13 apps, not much in ratings land here. I guess let's start with the big dog, NVIDIA, traded up 972. How'd they do, Spencer?
NVIDIA, yeah, not a bad report. The EPS 80 cents per share versus a 75 cent estimate, revenue 2.21 versus $2.20 billion, so a slight revenue beat and EPS beat. Bigger deal though is the guidance. They guided that their fiscal year 2020 revenue will be flat to down slightly, and the street was expecting a 7% decline. So that flat to down range is, I guess, better than expected on their fiscal year guidance.
I think this was a stock that was going up no matter what. I was hoping to get a dip on the initial numbers. I was like, maybe they come out and they disappoint. They pull like an Apple and Activision because those stocks went down originally on the reports. And I was like ready on the buy button to buy NVIDIA if it dipped on the initial report. I still own it in the long-term portfolio, so that's the good news.
Where do you got that at? I know you started to get it on the way down.
That was early, though. Like, I think 148, 149.
Not bad.
Right around 150. I can't remember.
Okay.
Right around 150. And I took heat on it a couple times. I mean, I bought it originally, I think, you know, trying to call the bottom on it, which it wasn't the case. And obviously, you know, it came back and then it went back down and then it came back and then went back down. So I've kind of been like a yo-yo on this stock. I am up in it now. Obviously, I'm up. I think it's around 150.
Okay.
So 164 this morning. But I really wanted it on for a trade. I was hoping we get another chance after hours at 150. I thought maybe we get initial dip and then the rip. And we didn't get the dip. It just ripped.
All right, I'll give you the quick reaction off the number. Took it up over 168.
Straight up, there was absolutely no dip.
168.88, and I'll have to go to a longer-term chart to find that. And then you had someone come in. This is basically the 15-minute chart, and they wanted to sell some stock, and they sold it all the way, kind of like a step-down seller here almost. They sold it to 162. And then the buyers reemerged. So basis what I'm seeing since that 4 a.m. open, I like the 162 as support. And I usually don't say that when the stock's trading up $9 here. But I do like the 162 support. And I'm not sure if you're going to work your way up to that pre-market high, 168.88. Let me see if there's any dailies in here. No, we're getting into gap land here. If you really are really super bullish today and you think it's going to go above that, 174.68 was your December 3rd high. I think I don't think we're going to see that today.
Leaking. So yeah. And we saw, not that this is anything to do with NVIDIA, completely different company, but we saw the goose yesterday.
Oh.
And GOOS ran up significantly on its report and then was leaking. And we even said, I'm like, it's leaking. I like it when they start leaking like so much. You know, it's one thing to pull back. It's another thing to continue to leak for, you know, a couple hours coming in. Goose opened down and just collapsed. Now, I don't think anything like that's going to happen with NVIDIA, but I don't like it when they're leaking. So, and this has been leaking now for a number of hours here, the NVIDIA. It's found stabilized here, 163, 164. But If you start going 162, 161, then I'd get nervous that this could end up giving it back. So just be cautious here. I'd be cautious chasing NVIDIA here today. I'm sticking with my long-term portfolio just because I like the company. And I think valuation isn't crazy anymore on NVIDIA. But short-term here, and as a trade, I'm not chasing it up $9 here today.
All right.
Goose. So I was just like, whew.
And I want to just, I just want to mention a stock that moves real nice with that. And obviously AMD, really a quiet consolidation here. AMD has been in basically a buck trading range for almost the entire week here, which is very rare. And now you're at a week high, 2356 here. So I don't know. This is due for a move.
It all depends on NVIDIA.
Yep.
So if NVIDIA, you know, opens 162 and starts ripping back up and goes 165, 166, AMD is going to be okay. If NVIDIA starts to give it back, AMD will give it back. So if you're trading AMD, do not take NVIDIA off your screen. NVIDIA is the leader here today. This will follow AMD. Yep. It's not going to follow for, you know, it's always going to be moving less percentages because it's not the one reporting. But I always kind of have like a 3-to-1 rule. So if you see NVIDIA up 5, you kind of think, you know, the sympathy play might be up, you know, 1.5 or so. And that's kind of holding here today with NVIDIA up 6. So 3-to-1 really kind of follow from playing sympathy.
Real quick, DC's asking thoughts about Microsoft going to 108 today. I mean, why the hell not? You're up 107.25. 108 is good resistance. That stopped it a couple times here. But look for the push off the open and break out over 108. Would definitely clear the way to the 112 area. Definitely see the resistance there.
Resilient stock. It was one that held up the best during the December. You know, it did get hit eventually here, but it held up very well. I mean, I don't know why, but they like the stock. And I think eventually Microsoft is making new all-time highs.
Hard to argue against it.
All right, let's go to Canopy Growth. This one was interesting here last night. So they said, after the bell, they said they were going to report at like 8:15. So 8:15 came and went, and 9:15 came and went. And then at 10:15 or thereabouts, their report comes out. Finally, CGC. And as expected, they had tremendous year-over-year growth thanks to the legalization in Canada. So I'll give you those numbers here. The EPS is not really relevant because of some note adjustments there. So the net income last year, last quarter, 67.6 million Canadian dollars versus 11 million in the same quarter last year. Revenue, 83 million versus 9 million in the same quarter last year. So huge year-over-year growth for Canopy Growth, I guess as expected.
Big pop, we'll say $50. I don't know where it's got to after hours here or in the pre-market, I guess, because it didn't report till way later. I sat there, actually. I was ready on all the pod stock sympathy plays. You know, it was supposed to report after the bell. And then our chat's smart, and I went and read in the chat, our pre-market info, or pre-market Benzinga chat there. And they said it doesn't report after 8 o'clock. I was like, oh, I might as well take my eyes off that one then and go focus on something else. So anyways, disappoints the after-hours traders like me because I love playing sympathy on the big guns like that. And Canopy Growth being, you know, maybe one of the most widely followed pod stocks, if not the most widely followed pod stock, is obviously going to move any other stock in the sector. So no sympathy playing for Dennis because it didn't report till 10:30 last night. And obviously this morning, everything's already priced in. So when it reports, you know, 6 hours to digest it before the 4 a.m. open, it's difficult to really find sympathy at that time because everybody's already going to be playing it. So anyways, just this stock here, I'd say $50 psychological.
You are trading as high as 49.20 here in the pre-market trading. I'll just go to the dailies here, and this is what you have for daily highs. You don't have anything at the $50 area, although it is a psychological area. We haven't been there for a while. 51.81, that represents your all-time high. My focus number will be 49.72. That's about a buck away. That was your all-time closing high, which you reached on February 4th. And you have some of the other pot stocks moving with this. You have Cron moving with it. Afria's moving up. Boy, it sure shrugged off that report. So there's your leader. If you're trading any of the pot stocks, keep an eye on Canopy Growth.
Let's jump away from the earnings just for a few minutes here. We'll come back. We'll get Pepsi. We'll get Deere. We'll get Applied Materials. But I want to go. There was 13F day last night. A lot of 13Fs coming out. I will tell you the only one that mattered was Buffett, because I tried to play some of the other ones, and I've tried to play this before, and they just don't move. I mean, you can see, you know, new position for Ackman and Starbucks. It's up 0.2%, which is exactly what that market is up. I mean, there's just not the movement that there is with Buffett. You know, so you get such a big movement on the Buffett stock. So, Spencer, give us the details on what Berkshire Hathaway did, and then we'll break down the trading action.
Yep. And also, with regards to interpreting this report, generally, or any 13F, generally speaking, the market values new buys and net sells over just adding,
for sure,
or over just adding and subtracting to your stake. So with that said, though, biggest surprise is that he cut his Apple stake, which is his largest position by a lot, cut his Apple stake about 1%. So that was a big surprise. But the new buys for Buffett, Red Hat, which we're not going to trade.
That's getting taken over by IBM, obviously, so it's not going to do much.
StoneCo, STNE, and Suncor Energy, SU. Those are the big three. And then the only stock that he exited last quarter was Oracle, which is a big surprise considering he just bought Oracle like two quarters ago. That was, I think, revealed in his last 13F. So he's out of Oracle, and StoneCo, STNE, and SU, those are going to be the big three movers this morning based on this. As far as stocks that he bought more of, we thought yesterday he might buy more banks. Well, that's what he did. He bought more Bank America. He bought more JP Morgan. Bought more U.S. Bancorp, BNY Mellon, Travelers, PNC. Yep. He already owned all of those. He added to those stakes. He also added to his GM stake there. He did lower his stakes in United Airlines, Southwest, and Charter Communications. But again, the big three that we're paying attention to this morning are going to be StoneCo, Suncor, because they were new additions, and Oracle, because it was sold completely.
That Oracle move was incredible last night, and it just shows you the power of Warren Buffett. Bring up the chart when that got disclosed, and here I am, you know, human being, I don't have my news algorithm or news interpreting algorithm there written so that we can read the news and tell me what to do. So the Edgar filing comes through and I'm like, grab it, you know, fast. I'm trying to leaf through it. And within like 10 seconds, you know, all the news algorithms have interpreted and published, you know, what the exit. So I'm like, that was pointless. So you might as well just wait until they actually publish the second headline, which actually tells you what he, you know, what he added, what he subtracted, you know, what he cut. And when it was announced that Oracle got cut and where he completely exited the position, the stock collapsed. I mean, we went from 51.50 all the way down to 54. He lost over a dollar on a very conservative stock. Oracle doesn't typically move that much. I actually did throw an order out there to buy it at 50.01. I was like, if this gets anywhere near 50, I think it's overdone. It didn't quite get to me. I think it got down like 50.25 or 50.30. And then eventually it did bounce up. But I still think at $50, I think it's overdone. Just that move, not saying long-term, not swing trade, just day trade. I just thought when it got down to 50, I was like, well, that's getting a little bit ridiculous just because Buffett sold it. So it's back here at 50.90 right now. I feel like that's more fairly priced. Thoughts, technically, Oracle?
50.22 was the pre-market low, so you, or after hours low, so you just missed that. You had a daily low in that area too at 49.82, so, you know, give you a chance there. Now you're back up. I'll see what happens at 51. We get back up there because you had two daily lows at 51, 50.95 and 51.09, and then just a bunch of closes in the 51 handle, so you got really a consolidation here in Oracle. Did you say that he bought some Red Hat?
Yeah, he
obviously bought it. I would assume he bought it before they got bought.
No, I don't know if I would just assume
that. You
wouldn't
assume
because
that?
Because okay. This was last quarter. Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it would have been September, October. Oh, man, he'd be killing it on that.
You would assume he just got lucky.
Tipped him off?
I think he just got lucky. I don't think that's, you know, I think he's probably just got – he bought Red Hat, and then they got bought. He got lucky.
The period for the fourth quarter. So this would be from October 1st to December 31st.
Guys, we forgot about Anne-Marie.
Oh, my gosh.
Anne-Marie. We'll get her thoughts on that. Go grab her.
Oh my God! Thank you, Joel.
Well, it's because we'd usually do 8:35.
I got so carried away. All right, let's get Anne-Marie on the fly.
Can we get her on the fly?
let's get her on the fly. Hold on one second. Let me dial up Anne-Marie Band. TheTradingBook.com is her website. She's one of our all-time favorite guests. Let me bring her in here on the fly on Skype and see if she has any insight for us about anything we've discussed on this show so far. Man, I feel extra guilty because she's like the nicest person. So I'm feeling extra bad about this. But let's see if she answers. I forgot to mention Wells Fargo also. Buffett did sell his Wells Fargo, cut some Wells Fargo. Anne Marie, are you there?
I certainly am. How are you?
I'm so sorry. We got carried away talking about Buffett's 13F and we totally lost track of time. I apologize.
Where are you at, Anne-Marie?
Naples, Florida.
Oh, man. Are you hanging out with Fari?
No, I am not. I'm actually at my sister-in-law's house. This is my mother-in-law's 91st birthday weekend, and so this is where we are.
All right. So do you take a little break from trading when you're traveling, or do you bring the laptop? Do you have a full setup?
Right. Everything with me, traveling office.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just get in here. Overall market thoughts. We had you calming people down when the market was crashing back in December, and we've had a nice rebound here and just 13 handles away from the high of the move here. Yeah. Give us your thoughts on this rally and what technical levels you're looking at.
Well, this is an interesting rally, right? Because when we fell like a stone, this is sort of what happened. So one of the toughest things that we have to work through as traders is when we stare at the market every single day, we have to sort of step back and say, what's the big picture? And as more of us get better at understanding technicals, the harder it is to get those easy events. And so that really is something that I have noticed a lot. A lot of us are seeing, okay, here is near-term support, here is near-term resistance, but our anxieties about following through with a plan really sort of break down because something spikes out of our noted areas or pull back into areas that we don't expect. And so that throws us off. So right now, what we're looking at is essentially the same thing that when we were talking about, I said, hey, listen, you know, this is going to pull back, but all the big bounces, we're going to see some fading. And so that's what we've done. We've bounced and then faded. And then we've had this terrible fade in December, nice bounce through January, part of February. So here it is. Everybody sees support and resistance. People are thinking on weekly and monthly charts, hey, we're coming into resistance. Here's where I'm going to short. And those are certain levels of weak hands that step in short and then get popped out of the trade because it expands and it expands a little more. So what's happening is the buying to cover doesn't really put more people engaged in the market. What it's doing is the opposite. It's moving people out of the market. And so the buying to cover, although it pushes prices up, what it's really doing is leaving these vacuum events that allow these great big fades to happen and for us to go, oh my gosh, what just happened? And so that's really how we have to think about it, extremely defensively. I think about, hey, we're driving on the Autobahn and there's three guys driving around us and they're all drunk or high or whatever, looking at their phones and they're going crazy and we have to be extremely defensive. And so extremely defensive pressure means, hey, you want to buy on these really low dips. And when it starts creeping up into the weekly, monthly resistance levels, we got to start peeling profit. Now, for those of us that are stock pickers, we've had some really beautiful flyers that really pull into these supports and then move up. You know, one of the things right now is Netflix. Netflix is way up at I don't know, 360 or whatever, while all this news of new competition, how much money they've spent, what kind of debt they're carrying, and they're still rising higher. But if you look right now, they are at a weekly resistance level. So the very patient traders are trimming their longs and starting to engage in shorts. And I think overall, that's what we're looking at.
I just want to jump in real quick and say I'm loving the birds in the background here. This is just the most soothing interview I've had, that exact same thing ever.
I'm like, you know, I was stressed out a little bit here because, you know, we're getting option expirations, a lot going on. I got 33 overnight positions here. I'm trying to, you know, jock, move around. And then I get to listen to these birds, and I'm like, this is so relaxed. Amory, you set the perfect, you know, just to relax all us traders who are stressed out. And I just want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
She's analyzing Netflix and all that, and I'm like, I like the Netflix, but then I like the birds too.
Yeah. I'm just hoping for no planes because a small private airport sits about maybe 5-6 miles from us, and this is over the path, so I was like, oh please, no planes. But if they come, they come.
we had a plane on yesterday's show.
That was Chris Temple, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Chris Temple.
We had Chris on, and we thought like the plane was hitting his house. That was the opposite of relaxing. I was actually very nervous for him. I was relaxed before, and then the sound started getting louder and louder. I was like, is he going to be okay, or are we just going to like see the screen cut out and we won't know what happened? Anyways, love the birds.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. It's 58 or 59. So it's, you know, for us that live in the Midwest, that's like T-shirt weather. So I'm super excited about today.
Do you go visit Fari when you're down there?
You know, sometimes, but not lately.
Yeah.
And these weekends, these holiday weekends are just crazy because we have birthday parties and all the family coming, nice. And it's crazy. Yeah.
Let's just, I know you like to follow the crude oil market here.
Yes.
And we had an extended decline, and we've been in a trading range, 52 to 54 and a half, seems to be breaking out of the upper end of that trading range here. What are the technicals telling you on the oil market?
You know, we are looking at a trading range for sure, but we've really got to get up and over 55.75 and close there. So at this juncture, so here's something very interesting. Goldman put out an article and they said, hey, the market is going to absolutely explode because what we are seeing is so much pullback on the output that the price is going to go shockingly higher. And at the same time, the EIA put out a report that said, hey, you know, global slowdown is really going to sort of trap oil underneath this 56 level. So we've got these two opposing viewpoints. And for me, it's always, you know, what's the chart say? I am simply not smart enough. My wheelhouse is not there. I can't look at what they're saying and how they're saying it and realize who's positioned where. So I just look at the chart and go, all right, what's actually happening? And so every time we pull back, somebody big buys. And that happened yesterday, big dip down. It looked really nasty and then pop right up into these edges. So what am I doing? I'm looking for these fades that can come back into 52, 53, and I'll get them on the short cycle. Everything I'm doing is short cycle movement. It's just, there are too many balls in the air, and I cannot tell what's happening in the market in general. So I've brought my focus in very tightly, very short term, and I'm just trying to be, you know, a little Zodiac boat sitting in the water.
How short term are we talking here?
How short term? You know, I'm going to price. Sometimes that takes a couple of days. But what I do know is this. So I really thought we could get to this 55 area yesterday before the big dip. And so I was holding it for the long action, and then it started slipping, and I went, I'm getting out of here. And so it's all price motivated. I look at the price and I go, wait, let me see what buyers and sellers are doing. I take a look at depth of market. I see how they're positioning and I go, I'm out of here. I'm not giving anything the time to stop out because I just don't want to do that. And so really what's happening, particularly for the swing trader, the short-term swing trader, they're looking at these breakouts and they're going, oh, okay, it might hold. When really what we have to be doing is anchoring on these deep support levels. So your risk event is so low that if it stops you out, you're like, ah, okay. But if you take the breakout or where you think price looks like it's holding, it could easily just jam right back down into support because algorithms are clearly playing the motion of the chart. You can see it. So many of our candlesticks have so many wicks and so many reversals on the follow-up candlesticks, you know it's algorithmic trading. Or at least this is my suspicion.
Anne-Marie, I agree with you completely. Like, so that's why, you know, even middle of the day is like when I actually take some time off because the swings are so wicked. Like, I feel like at the open, the algos back off a little bit because you got real liquidity, you got real players at the close. You have a lot of institutional players maybe thickening it up and you can get some, you know, real moves based on what that closing action is. The middle of the day is all chop. And it's, you know, if you're putting on a trade, it seems like they just stop everything out. So it's difficult to be like an intraday scalper in the middle of the day.
Yes, absolutely. What can help you with that, though, is depth of market. If you have a platform that allows you to see depth of market, you can see the buyers and the sellers sort of shift around in terms of their weight. And so if you're long and you're seeing a lot of buys at the bottom, so if you look at a depth of market, you're going to see a buy side and how many orders are waiting to buy and then how many orders are waiting to sell. And if the buy orders are twice as much as the sell order, you're going to see the price move down because everybody's engaged and nobody's got their targets and people just have their targets. And so it's almost the counter event of what you're thinking, right? So if there are a lot of sell orders sitting out there with your depth of market, the price is actually moving up into those sell orders so those people can get out of the trade. And if you use depth of market on the swift intraday trade and you understand where your support and resistance levels are, you can sort of navigate that, but it is tricky and be quick or be dead.
Anne-Marie, I know you like to incorporate different things into your technical analysis. Out of the chat, what does Anne-Marie think about the deep resistance of the 200-day moving average here? So I guess it probably be talking about the SPY or the S&P cash here. How much emphasis do you put on the 200-day moving average?
You know, I don't.
Okay.
So I don't really put any emphasis on that because remember, what a moving average gives you is relative long-term trend. And so if you're an intraday trader or you're a short-term swing trader, relative long-term trend really means very little to you if you're looking to trade something for the next 3, 4, 5 days. But if you're looking to trade 3 months, 6 months, and you break that trend, then you have to think about what's going on, right? That's why you hear institutional folks say, hey, we're looking at the 200. They can't move like us in Zodiacs. They've got battleships, right? They can't move on a dime like we can. And so that 200 is, you know, I just think it's sort of a number.
Depends, yeah, it depends on your time frame.
Exactly.
Yeah, longer term investor. Just two other things. I mean, you can't talk about what's going on in the market without talking about the tariffs and the indecision that's going on in that. I mean, you know, you also throw the Fed in there, the Fed put here. How do you incorporate that into your trading, or do you just try and totally ignore it and stick with the technicals?
Well, I like to keep my eye on the news, but remember, I don't know how to interpret news other than to price action. And so what I'll do is, what I've noticed is algorithms are using the news to build alpha, right? So they're using the news to either spike the price up or bring the price in. And so trade tariffs, everybody's far apart. Huge pullback down. Fed gonna stay dovish. Big bounce up. They're using the cycle to move within the broader range. So it ends up being noise that says, hey, pay attention. These guys are going to use this news and they're going to drive the momentum, capture their alpha, and get out of the trade. And so that's what we're seeing. And just like Dennis said, it's usually in the middle of the day. And that's where they have the most control over price motion. And so that's what will happen. And I just see it over and over again. Is it going to be a big deal if we can't get a trade agreement? If we can't, if the Fed says something about raising rates? Ultimately, there are bigger pictures that I think that are unfolding. And so we just have to look at all of these news bites as noise that'll punch us up into a resistance area and bring us down into a support area. And for me,
you've got a trade.
I always try to make things super simple. And that's what I've done. I've just tried to make it simple like that.
We've been on the line with Anne-Marie Ban. She's a trader. She runs thetradingbook.com. Anne-Marie, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, and have a nice time down in Florida.
Thank you so much. Glad you enjoyed the birds. Yeah. Take care.
All right. All right. 8:37, Joel. Anything changing in the S&Ps here?
We'll see what Dennis says about the imbalances here, but
they're small so far.
Oh, really?
You haven't seen really. You've got a couple. Coca-Cola, 154,000 to buy, trying to bounce a little bit. Probably Pepsi earnings helping it because Pepsi's going up, which we haven't covered here yet. Alibaba, 56,000 to sell. You did see international. You did see your emerging markets get hit a little bit here overnight. If you look, I can bring up the EEM. It is down 0.5%. We're up 0.25. So a little bit of weight there. If you've got China stocks, they're probably getting hit here a little bit too. But so far, it's a pretty non-event for the imbalances. Now, we know they chop around, too. You're going to see them all go huge buy, huge sell. They flip around as institutions, come in. There's a lot of institutional players on this Friday option expiration. So I actually put less weight into the opening imbalances than I do on other days.
Canopy Growth here may have turned. We just hit a high at 49 and change. 49 even, right on the kisser, and someone's come in with a piece to sell here. So after some big green candles here, you get some red candles coming in. Could have your high of the day. 49.20 is actually your pre-market high. Starting to leak here in Canopy Growth. So longs, keep an eye on that. High of the pre-market session could be marking the high for the day.
Let's go over and do those Pepsi earnings here. We'll do Pepsi and Deere, and if there's any one of your other stocks you want to cover, let us know. Those are the last. Or we'll do Applied Materials maybe too. So let's just do those quick three, and then we can jump back and know what else is moving here. But Pepsi is getting a nice lift on its report.
All right, Pepsi Q4 EPS, $1.49 is in line with the estimate. Sales, $19.52 billion, also in line with the estimate there. Organic sales growth for the guidance for the fiscal year, up 4%. That's what they guided on a year-over-year basis. And they're raising their quarterly dividend by a smidge, not even really that, by 3 cents. So 92 to 95 cents.
I mean, it's difficult. It's actually, a good thing, I guess, for Pepsi to report after Coke. Because when Coke got hit so hard, expectations, the bar got all of a sudden set so much lower for Pepsi. And they're actually different companies. I mean, they operate, different business. A lot, they're the same, but they got some different business models going on, too. They have a lot of different businesses there. But usually you see when Coke gets hit, everybody's expecting that Pepsi's going to obviously not perform well either. I think expectations were, this isn't a great quarter, but it wasn't the disaster maybe that Coke, at least that they thought Coke was, because they hit it down so hard yesterday. So Coke set the bar low for Pepsi. Pepsi was able to beat that bar.
You got a nice spike off the print. Got up to 115.87. You're a buck off that now. So sellers are coming in. really nothing to lean on the dailies here to speak of. You had a 115.07 high. That was on December 17th, and then things really open up. So I'll make a focus area here, 115 for Pepsi. You get back, stay above that, chance to rally. If not, you could see some profit taking in this one. It's had a decent rally off your jet. That's one made a low in late December as well. So Pepsi and Coke going in opposite directions.
Deer getting hit hard here now. And like you were saying, Joel, it took a few minutes for them to really start dinging this thing. It came out. Give us a number, Spencer, and Joel, break down that after pre-market action.
Yeah, they reported this morning, Deere did Q1 EPS of $1.54 versus $1.76 estimate. Sales 6.94 versus 6.81 billion. So a sales beat, but a big EPS miss for the Q1 in Deere.
Joel, talk about this because I was looking at the same thing you were. I was like, it didn't get dinged right away, and maybe it's just because it's thinner in the pre-market, but I thought I saw like some 160, 161 bids, and I was looking at it too, and I was like, maybe they're not going to hit it. I mean, it looked like they should hit it, but maybe I should have been the one hitting it. I should have hit that 161 bid because I'd be making some money, but anyway, it's getting dinged now.
Yeah, it sure is, and I don't know who had the downgrade in this earlier in the week, but congrats to you. That's an excellent call. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I saw the report, and I'm like, wow, that's really a horrible report. That should be down a lot, and it was down like a buck and a half, and I'm
like, that should take a little while.
Then I turned away and started to do some prep, and then I'm looking, I'm like, that's down 5. No, it's down 6. Now down 7.5. So big old move here for Deere. Someone's just puking out the positions, trading at the lows of the pre-market session. Your pre-market low was just made at 154.5. I guess you had a low if you want to there's nothing in here, Dennis. There's nothing down here to 151.49. I don't know if we're going to get that low, but that's
things can get ugly off the bat. And, is there going to be buy the dippers that come in? Yeah, but even on some of these stocks that open down 5-6, you got to watch that opening whoosh. Sometimes they just whoosh down to like a major support level, and Amarillo's is talking about major support levels too. And I can't see why this couldn't trade to 150. So at 155.90, I don't know if I'm selling it, trying to grab, but it's definitely got, we could see 150 today. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And I think if you're going to see it, you're going to see in that opening bar, like that opening first, especially with option expiration, you could see that thing in the first 5 minutes just whoosh down, hit every stop, and then it starts to bounce. But that's why you got to be careful just coming in and saying, okay, it's going to bounce. Because if you're early, you'd be at 156, and yeah, it could be a bounce, but it could be down to 150 and then bounce to 153 and you're still underwater. So it's scary to just buy these stocks when they're leaking. And, especially on option expiration when you'll see some wild moves at that 9:30 open.
What's CAD doing? I mean, I see it's flat, but I'm sure. Is it offered lower?
It's right there. But remember, CAD already reported. So when did CAD report, Spencer? Was it like two weeks ago or something?
Yeah, it was several weeks ago by now. I don't know.
So this is one thing, sympathy traders out there. I know a lot of people like to play sympathy, especially at Bright, where we're relationship-based traders. The company 28th. That reports first, it's always a better sympathy move on other companies in the sector. When you're the second one and CAT, Deere trade together, when the second one reporting, the initial company isn't going to get as much of a move. So CAT's not going to get as much of a move here because we already know their numbers. There's no speculating on, okay, well, Deere missed, so CAT's going to miss too. No, CAT already reported. We already know it. So that's why you see, same thing with Coke, Pepsi today. You're not going to see a huge bounce in Coke here today because we already know the Coke numbers. If Pepsi had reported and Coke hadn't reported yet, you would see a nice bounce in Coke for that reason. But we already know the numbers. So that's why sympathy doesn't work as well when the company's already reported.
And then we wanted to do AMAT as well, right?
Let's jump over to Applied Materials, which is getting hit a little bit. I got this one still in the long-term portfolio.
This was after the bell yesterday. The Q1 EPS, 81 cents, was a 2-cent beat on the estimate. Sales, 3.75 versus $3.71 billion. So beats on both the top and bottom line of the Q1. The Q2 guidance they gave, however, was light. Q2 adjusted EPS guidance, the range they gave, 62 to 70 cents versus a 78 cent estimate. Sales of $3.33 to $3.63 billion, a little bit below the estimate there as well. So light quarterly light Q2 sales and EPS guidance for Applied Materials.
Hey, Dennis, are you sure you don't have some big buy balances in there? Because we just been moving up real strong.
They're just starting to go buy. So okay. they just flipped. A lot of them did just flip to buy. There's still some sells out there, I do notice. And it's going to be wild. So they're going to move here because institutions really play in this open. So they're putting in big orders. So one institution comes in, they throw 100,000 shares and something, changes everything. So I see Coke, I consider 185,000 to buy. I do see a few other ones. Bank of America, 129,000 to buy here this morning. I still see Alibaba, 58,000 to sell. Berkshire Hathaway, 40,000 to buy. Pfizer, 103,000 to buy. I see Met, MET, 71,000 to buy. We don't talk about that one a lot. So it's just mixed. It's mixed right now.
Yeah, moving in. Up top, folks, 27.62 was your high on Wednesday, 27.63 on Thursday. Those are the highs of the move. Looking at the, just real quick to finish up with AMAT here, I can't really glean anything from the 15-minute chart. And then I go to the daily, and it looked like you had some support in the 40 handle. It looks like we are taking that out. Basis the daily charge, your next support level comes in at 39.33. That's your four-day low, but not a lot coming back on the upside. A bunch of closes at the 40.70 area, the last three closes right there. So if you're looking for to exit, been a lot of congestion at 40.70, 40.75 on a closing basis. Let's go back
to this market. It's been rallying all morning here.
I know. And
it's not just we rallied from settlement. We were down last night. We were down 10 handles last night. And China, and you know, obviously, we saw a little bit of a bounce in Europe here, but China got hit last night. We're seeing emerging markets trade down. This market is so resilient. It's just buying every dip. We keep saying that on the show here too. The last couple of days, you had a little dip here yesterday during the trading day. They bought that right back. And here we are right back to new highs. I mean, we're right there and kissing up. And, you know, we're only, what, 30, you know, three handles off the high of the move. So it's amazing. You know, you can drop 20, 25 S&P points, and within a day, it's right back. This trend is up right now. Investment managers think they missed the boat. They're buying every single dip that we see. I mean, I don't see what's going to, you know, obviously, you know, we kind of have a headline there. Maybe there's going to be, you know, not a deal with China or something. There could be something with the government shutdown. There could still be some headlines that could drive us down here. But right now, portfolio managers probably got spooked. Maybe some of them sold in December. You remember, I sold at the beginning of December. I didn't get back in on some of my stuff, which, you know, makes me nervous too. And as I get pullbacks in certain stocks, I'm using those pullbacks to buy too, just like I bought Twitter on the pullback because I'm using some of these earnings misses to actually get back in some stocks. So I think portfolio managers doing the same thing. That's why the buy the dippers are so relentless right now.
Yeah, it's evident. We are 7 points off the high of the move basis, the S&Ps. We got EA moving this morning here. So, Spencer.
How much is going to go on this game? I mean, this is incredible. Again, it's a headline off the games. You got the headline, Spencer?
Yes, it's always Apex Legends now. It's forever tied to the company, and that's never going to end. Talks now report that they are in talks with Tencent to bring Apex Legends to China.
You look at this now, and, you know, obviously, you know, I got out at a nice price, getting out of 105. It pulled back a couple times to the low, you know, got under 90, under 100 the next day. But now it's, you know, the next last couple of days, 101 low, 100.68. Now you get a big headline here again. This looks like it's gearing up to go again. It's like a flag, and it looks like it's just ready to break out, and it is kind of breaking out here this morning above those highs. So I don't know. I'd be very nervous if I was short. I have no position in it here right now, but I would not want to be short the stock now. And obviously, I was hoping to get it back in the low 90s. That did not happen. It got to the upper 90s. I should have struck. Now it looks like it's going here. So as a trade here, I kind of like it still.
I'd spike up. Big spike up here to 112.17. You're $3.50 off that. Use that as a target if you're long here. If it comes back down, not only today, but over the next few days, this 107 area, that was the high of the double top before this. But who cares about that report? It's just this game is really taken off. That pre-market high, coincides with 113.29. That was your October 8th high, but nice recovery here for EA. And
well, let's just put it in perspective. We hit 74 after hours. You'll see on your chart 78, but after hours we hit $74. So, you know, that was the absolute low after the disappointing earnings report 7 days ago.
Oh, he's saying after the earnings report. Okay.
After the earnings report, we hit $74 after hours. Remember?
Count?
Yeah. You're at 108 now. The stock's up 50% in the last 7 days from the earnings report low. It's, you know, if you're buying it now, you're definitely chasing it. But I tell you, like I just said, I wouldn't want to be shorted here right now because this game's still got momentum. It seems like every time we get a positive headline from this game, it's going higher. And you know what's the next headline going to be? 50 million users or 75 million users? I mean, it's all over the place here right now. You know that the users are going up. So is that going to drive it even further? I mean, what's to stop this? You know, it's in rocket ship mode. It's hard to call the top in rocket ship mode. So I wish I still owned it. I just thought it got overdone. It did. It pulled back in 7-8 points, but I didn't get back in. So, which is my problem. I seem to be having that problem where I'm good at getting out and I don't get back in. But anyways, that's besides the point. It's hard to be short the stock right now.
It's moving up, and Activision's had a good couple days as trading up another 17th division. Yeah, Activision is back division.
It's back. Take two, too. TTWO's slowly on the comeback trail, too. We had that downgrade, brought it down to the lows. It's back. The gaming stocks are back in favor here right now, and EA is no gaming stocks in more favor right now than EA because they are saying that this is, you know, the next Fortnite. They've got the game, and we know Fortnite did, and you know, they're just benefiting from that right now. Well, unbelievable. It's 50% in 7 days.
While we're here, let's take a look at what's the ticker? It's Turtle Beach, H-E-A-R. They make the headsets. While we're here,
go check it out.
Yeah, check
with them. Oh, good call, Spencer. That's been breaking out here, too.
Yeah.
So is that going to start getting a lift off the game? Maybe.
Well, it's been breaking. I mean, if you look at it daily, like you can see.
Well, it broke out yesterday, came back in, so it didn't stay breaking out, but it's still looking good. I like chart. I don't know anything about the fundamentals here. I know what they do, but, you know, I haven't analyzed from a valuation perspective. I'd assume, you know, the valuation is probably ridiculous, but the chart sets up well here. I mean, maybe, you know, it's a little difficult because, you know, you're up from $14 just 3 weeks ago. But right now, I wouldn't want to be sure of that one either.
I'm seeing the forward PE of 11, so no. But I don't know what.
Oh, really?
I don't know what its peers are. I don't know.
Now you got me interested.
I don't even know if it has peers, honestly. But
now you got me interested. So yeah, I'm interested. I like that setup. I like that. I like the look of that. I don't have no position, but I don't mind. What do you think of that chart here, HEAR, especially if it starts getting a buzz off this game?
Yeah, it had a good day yesterday. It pulled back here. Nice bar. I mean, you got your resistance at 19 even. I mean, if maybe try and pick it up flat on the day. That's up 18.10 was the close. 17.81, that was the close from yesterday if you're trying to buy it on weakness. $19 was the high from yesterday. I don't know, kind of a tough chart here. It had the pop and pulled back, but clearly, I mean, whatever headlines come out with this game helps here. And I don't know, I wouldn't short it. I guess that's the best thing. Old time high.
I'd be very nervous if I was short that one too.
Yeah, 34.
The game, you saw what it did to EA, went up 50%. I mean, if these are the headsets that they're using in the game. We know with Fortnite, you know, had. Well, remember with Fortnite, when Fortnite was really hot, that's when the stock was taken off.
Yep.
And went from like $5 up to $35. This is setting up. This is setting up for a little short squeeze here. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see this something in the 20s again.
A colleague of mine, John, told me that they control 50% of the market, the headphone gaming.
Why are their headsets so much better than
I don't like, know.
I have a headset on right now. Maybe I should get a Turtle Beach headset.
Theirs are apparently...
Let's buy Benzinga. Go buy us Turtle Beach headsets okay. So we can try these things
out.
All right. Raz. Go tell Raz. We want Turtle Beach headsets for the pre-market show.
I will. We had a question a long time ago about Newell Brands. Let's look at NWL. We didn't cover them yet, did we? I don't believe we did. Getting killed this morning. Q4 EPS, 71 cents, 67 cent estimate. So they beat that. Sales, 2.34 versus 2.43 billion. So they mixed Q4 report, but the guidance was light. Their 2019 revenue guidance came in at 8.2 to 8.4 billion, and 8.78 billion was the estimate there. So light on the fiscal year sales guidance for new brands?
$18. That's your level. I don't know where it was to pre-market. I haven't looked at this at all here this morning. It's down 14%, but you have multiple lows in that $18 area. I think that's where I find support. Remember the old Jeremy Newsom trick where they kind of take it out by, you know, 25 cents or 20 cents or something. So 17.71, the absolute low, maybe go down 17.65 and then start to rally from there. But $18 is rounding it. That's where I would think you'd find some support.
Yeah, you actually had three lows in that area at the end of 2018, early 19. You are finding some interest a little bit above that. And what I mean by interest here is it's just not going down, and you got a hint of a green candle here on this 15-minute bracket. So someone is starting to buy, starting to track some buying interest here at the 1850, 1860 area. The major support, Dennis mentioned, $18. And then you had a the low of the move, too, is right there, 1771, 1786. So big boys stepping up at 18. We'll see where they can get there today.
Jump back over. There's lots of stocks.
Yeah, there's one more that we want to hit on from the pre-market show.
I wanted to log me in.
Yeah, I know. That's where I was going. Log me in. Okay. Disaster stock of the day, or one of them, I should say. But log me in had earnings yesterday after the bell, so I'll give you those numbers here as I pull the chart up. Log me in. Q4 adjusted EPS of $1.47 versus $1.41 estimate, so they beat that. They also beat the sales figure, $310 versus $306 million, but the Q1 sales guidance was in line. The Q1 adjusted EPS was very light, very, very light. What they guided was $1.12 to $1.15. Analysts were expecting $1.37. So as such, the fiscal year EPS guidance was also light by about $1, and their sales guidance was light by a smidge as well. So very light EPS guidance for the quarter and for the year.
$75. That's where you're at, 79.60. If you get a whoosh, I think it could whoosh to 75. So I think there still could be four more points of pain here. At a certain point in time, you probably find buyers. One thing to consider, though, this is not a stock making new all-time highs. So this is not one of those story stocks that, you know, really, this is a stock that benefited just from an everything rally in January. We're significantly off the all-time highs of 134.80. So it's not a stock like, you know, like some of these that might just, you know, bounce back in a day or two, like the Shopify's of the world. So I'd be somewhat cautious buying it there, but if I was short the thing, I would think somewhere here in the mid-70s, you probably want to bring it in.
76.30 is where they took it to on the initial spike, but you're finding some buyers here ahead of that. Just quiet consolidation here for the remainder of the after hours and free market trading. And that consolidation has really been from like 78. Someone wants the stock at 78.5, and now you're at 79.5. So I don't think you're going to see the pre-market low. And I don't know if you see that $75 to see some buying interest here. Shorts are probably looking at this opportunity as, you know, oh, we walked up all the way through 2019 and here we are back almost flat on the year. So good short covering opportunity. We'll see if that continues in today's session. But as Dennis mentioned, it's not a stock that's like trading an all-time high and then has a huge pullback. Different characteristics behind this stock.
The buy and balances are growing. Just want to say that. We have seen quite a few buy and balances. Probably why this market continues to push higher here. Just quickly, I want to cover Caesars too. Newell, because Icon had a position in there, made me think of Caesar, which was announced last night that Uncle Carl's got a new 9% or 10% stake in Zebra R, and that stock is getting a lift on that news.
I did. It got over $10, quickly snuffed out, $10.35. Finding some support here at $9.80. This has just been a real tight range in this thing between 9 and 9.50. So 9.50 was the top of the range, old resistance, new support. See if you get a chance to buy it at that area. Really no ratings worth mentioning today, Spencer.
There was
a couple ones. Anything you want to mention?
Yeah, there is just one rating this morning. It's a pair trade, actually. Cowen and Company is downgrading Adobe to neutral and upgrading Workday to outperform. So that's Cowen doing that pair trade. Real quick, Dennis, before we go, can you give us some updated numbers on those imbalances?
I'll give you a few highlights here. So Bank of America is now 335,000 to buy. JP Morgan, 143,000 to buy. That was a Warren Buffett ad, so it's not surprising that's going to show some strength. Coke, 274,000 to buy. Oh, man. Pfizer, 251,000 to buy. TNT, 224,000 to buy. Verizon, 130,000. They're all buys. I mean, everything is pretty significant to the buy side. Now Berkshire Hathaway, 90,000 to buy. I'm scrambling to find. I see GM's got a 41,000 share selling balance, but I don't think that's going to hold because that's a Warren Buffett ad, too, and it's trading higher here. So it looks like this is going to be a very strong open, at least right now, with the S&P's trading up 10 points and the buying balance that I'm seeing. I see like a pretty strong opening happening here.
And we got a 3-day weekend, right? The S&P's will be open Sunday night. They will be trading to 1 p.m. Eastern time and then resume at 6 p.m. Monday. So your Monday session or your Tuesday session will be starting Sunday night. Keep an eye on that. Consumer sentiment coming out at 10 a.m. too. That could be a market mover as well. And over the 3-day weekend here, I'm going to be working on coming up with a new game for. And I haven't decided. I don't know whether to name it Apex Night or Fort Legends, but that.
A bad joke.
Bad one?
I laughed.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought that was a good one. I was going to try it out in the chat first here, but it all seems to be in the name. All right, Spencer, you want to wrap things up? And
yeah, sure.
Look at, I got two LOLs from Dr. Scott and Jar Jar. Okay. I do have some fans. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
If you missed any part of today's show, we have a podcast too, or you can watch us again on YouTube. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. Thanks to our guest, Anne-Marie Band. Thanks to all of you in both of our chat rooms, both on premarket.benzinga.com and youtube.com/benzingatv. If you have any questions about anything, you can email us premarket@benzinga.com. Please remember all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. I hope you guys have a good weekend. I'll be spending tomorrow with Joel as we attend the Michigan-Maryland game together, and either it'll be a tremendously good day or a tremendously bad day, one way or the other. Pretty binary in that. But I hope you guys have a good weekend, and remember we are off on Monday, so we will see you again on Tuesday. Have a good one.